Welcome back, ladies and germs, to another episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Tyler O. And today, in honor of the fact that we are under a week away from the 2026 NFL draft, we thought it would be fun to put together a collaborative first round rookie mock draft, just going back and forth, making six picks each for a 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium format. It's going to be a good time. Take turns, talk about our picks. Pretty straightforward, nothing too out of the ordinary. So buckle in and get ready for a good time. But before we start, Tyler, I noticed that you recently on FTNFantasy.com came out with an excellent article talking about some of your favorite potential day three sleepers in this rookie class. I want to know from you who your favorite player is that is probably not going to be picked in the first round of the NFL draft or rookie drafts, but you are just excited to get on as many of your teams as possible regardless.
It's going to be Nick Singleton, running back, Penn State. I've gone back and forth on this a bit. And as a longtime Devy player, I played some campus to Canton in my life, where it's essentially just you play college fantasy and your college fantasy team turns into your like NFL dynasty team. I've just been watching him for a long time. He's remained one of my favorite backs over the last 4 years. Legitimate freshman breakout. Good junior year. Didn't live up to the hype, obviously. Had the foot injury, but to me, it's just he has the physical tools. He jumps off the screen. He has the size. I've seen the speed. I've seen the receiving ability. I just know that he is a running back that can do it all. And at some point in time, we were talking about this guy being one of the top NFL prospects at running back. Now, I understand why he's not there anymore, and the injury definitely compounds that, right? But I think as a fan of his, and he's probably going to go day three, maybe he squeaks into the late third. I doubt it. You're going to be able to get him pretty late in your rookie drafts. And because of that, he's a guy that I'm pretty comfortable taking in the back half of the second, just considering this class. So I've had my time. I've done my ranks. I've done my evaluations. And I do believe that Nick Singleton is one of those backs that I'll probably end up drafting the most of as kind of a later dart throw, just like throwing darts at running backs in general. But he's definitely going to be the one that rises to the top.
No, he's a very fun player. I really enjoyed getting to spend some time around him and some of the other guys down in Mobile earlier in the year. And, you know, between him and his Penn State teammate, Katron Allen, two very talented running backs from the same backfield. And folks, if you want more of Tyler O's favorite day three sleepers, you can check out the article live now on FTNFantasy.com, as I said earlier. But with that out of the way, we can get into our first round 2026 rookie mock draft. And Tyler, you are going to be making our first pick. Who are you going to go with at the 101 in this 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium draft?
You know, I wish I could do something hot, but I can't, man. This is just too obvious here. It's been this case for a couple drafts now where we've just had a running back who is elite and far and away the best player in this entire class. No debate, Jeremiah Love at that 101. I mean, listen, he's a near lock to go in the top 10. I mean, some people would say he's a lock to go in the top 5. He steps in the league, immediately contends as a RB1 regardless of where he goes, even if he goes to the Tennessee Titans, where a lot of people like to mock him. He's not necessarily like I wouldn't consider that a great landing spot, but even if he goes there, I still think he's a top 10 running back. You know, when we talk about top 10 running backs, we're talking about your Bijan Robinsons, your Saquon Barkley's, your Christian McCaffrey's. That is the company I believe that we are talking about, and Love belongs in that conversation. Heisman finalist as a running back, Doak Walker Award winner, best running back in college football. I mean, he does everything. Catches the ball well, three down threat, sets up blocks well, reads the defense, breakaway speed. I mean, end of the day, like, I don't really have anything negative to say. He does everything, like, wonderfully, right? I did have some minor nitpicks just because that's the nature of what we do here. You know, he's not going to drag defenders extra yards. Like, that's just not the kind of game he plays. He's not going to drag players around. I think he hesitates a little bit more than he should, but I mean, that's me nitpicking. He is a top 10 running back in the NFL today. Excited to get him on one of my rebuilds, as I do hold a 101. It's not a terrible rebuild, so I feel good about taking it. So when I think about this 101, it's going to be Love, and I don't think there's a single league out there where you shouldn't be considering taking him at the 101. He's a lock.
I completely agree. I honestly, there's really not much of a debate. For as much as our next player who is going to be taken is very talented, and for the fact that it is super flex, Jeremiah Love is just that much better than everybody else. I would do the same thing if I were in your position as well. But with that second pick coming over to me, I kind of alluded to it a little bit, but to say it explicitly out loud, I am going to go with the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, the quarterback out of Indiana, Fernando Mendoza. Now, I know that a lot of people are not super enthusiastic about the idea of anybody going to be on the Las Vegas Raiders. They've definitely got a lot that they have to clean up. Last year was kind of a nightmare. The offensive line completely disappeared. Hopefully, they can turn things around quickly. But when you're talking about a guy like Fernando Mendoza, prototypical size, he's got a very good arm. He can move around a little bit too. He's not much of a runner, but I would put him, you know, he's at least a little bit of a scooter. I think he has all of the tools necessary to be somebody who can be a good pocket passer in this league for a very long time, assuming health. And by virtue of that alone, if you're going to be in the league for a long time, probably, you're going to retain a lot of value in super flex formats. Quarterbacks are always going to be at a premium. I think that he makes a lot of sense as the number two overall pick in this format. Do you have any sort of disagreements on that? Is there somebody else that you would rather take, or are you pretty in with the whole Fernando Mendoza thing at 102?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Quarterback is such a premium position in Superflex, and I think he's going to be solid. I'm a little hesitant to go out there and call him like a top 12, like QB1 lock, but I think he's going to be a contributor for a long time with just looking at what he's able to kind of bring to the table. You know, he's extremely accurate. I think he consistently hits those wide receivers in stride. He's got poise. He stands in, and, you know, he'll take the hit and still deliver. He's an NFL quarterback in my mind. So, in Superflex, this is a pretty easy pick here. Even if I didn't need a quarterback, I still would consider taking him here just because I think he's going to be a good fantasy quarterback, like you mentioned with the scooting. So far, you know, this 1-2 seems pretty obvious to us. But once we're ready to go to 3, I think that's when things get a little more different in our Superflex drafts.
Absolutely. A lot of different directions you can go with this third pick. And Tyler, it's up to you. Who are you going to select with this choice?
Yeah, this is Jordan Tyson, wide receiver, Arizona State. He's been my wide receiver one for the better part of the year. Nothing has changed here. Obviously, the medicals, everyone's going to bring that up. Medicals are the concern, yada, yada, yada. But it's not like those medicals or those injuries are related, right? They're all just different kind of injuries. And if the NFL doctors are going to clear him and the NFL is going to take him in the first round, top half of it likely, why shouldn't I? Why wouldn't I listen to the people that are actually looking at his medical records and determining that things are okay? I mean, you watch the tape for 5 minutes and you know this guy's good. I think the comp that gets thrown around is Terry McLaurin, and I'm willing to listen to it. I think it's like a pretty solid comp for, you know, somebody who like wants to know, like, hey, who's he kind of like? Terry McLaurin. When you think of Terry McLaurin at his peak, top 15 wide receiver in the NFL, top 20 at the very least. So, you know, I think his basketball background shows up real time. Great at the catch point. He's aggressive. He's physical. His release creates separation. There's a lot of things I think a spreadsheet can never capture with Tyson in the way that he kind of plays football. He blocks in the run game. I think he's more of a chess piece that they can move around all around the field. In motion, slot, outside, I think he can play anything that you ask him to play. I think the floor is really solid here. I think he's reliable. There's ceiling here as well as a legitimate wide receiver one. Really interesting to see where he ends up. I think there's a lot of teams that need wide receiver in the middle of the first, so it's tough to say he'll definitely go X, Y, or Z. But, he's far and away my wide receiver one. I don't think I've wavered on this one. So we're going Jordan Tyson, 103.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And ever since we had our podcast going through our rookie rankings together, the thing that you mentioned about the fact that he can move all around the formation is really starting to make a big difference in my mind. I have not taken a look at my rookie rankings in a little bit here, but I think whenever I do a reshuffle, there's a decent chance I am probably going to move up Tyson to my number one for that reason. Some of these other guys do have certain limitations as far as that goes. And one of those players is my guy that I have liked a ton, a guy that I am going to pick here, the USC wide receiver, Mekhi Lemon. I really think that he is going to be an explosive slot player. I think that he is going to make a huge difference in whatever offense he lands in. I think it would be really cool to see him on a team like the Carolina Panthers. That is a place that I believe I mocked him when I did my NFL mock draft for the site a little while ago. I know that our boss, Jeff Ratcliffe, in his most recent mock draft also had Lemon going to the Carolina Panthers. I think it would be a good fit. I think he would work really well in tandem with somebody like Tet McMillan, but regardless of where he goes, I think he could be very fun. I was kind of thinking about taking a different receiver here, but ultimately I kind of just have to go with my gut, and my gut tells me Lemon. Do you feel similarly, or is there a player that you could take here at the fifth spot that you maybe would have considered at number four instead?
I think that's fair. I think in my rankings I have Carnell Tate, who I'm, spoiler alert, going to be taking next. But this is like one of those things where you could easily just flip. I mean, landing spots. Like, I have Carnell Tate ranked ahead of Mekhi Lemon, but if Carnell Tate ends up going to the Browns at six, I probably would move Mekhi Lemon above Carnell Tate, just because, like, I don't really want Browns wide receivers in general. So at landing spot, like, these guys are so close that landing spot would matter in Dynasty. We talk about it all the time, right? You bet on the talent, not the situation. And you in Dynasty, what matters more is the guy himself, talent, and the situation is an afterthought. But to me, these guys are just so close that landing spot would be like the tiebreaker, right, between the two of these guys. I think they're very different players, but I have no problem with you taking Mekhi Lemon here. I'll talk a little bit about Carnell Tate. I think this is the tier for me. I think like 105 is a pretty clear tier that you want to be or have a top five pick in Superflex. These are the most talented guys. Like, don't get me wrong, a couple guys after this, I'm still excited to get on my teams, but I don't necessarily think that they're at the same level as these solid players here. Like, these are kind of can't miss prospects in my opinion. So to talk a little bit about Carnell Tate here at the five, like I said, I think him and Lemon are a bit interchangeable. You know, the combine was never really going to be the point for Tate in a lot of ways. He was never going to test like a burner. He's never supposed to. You know, his game kind of lives in the intermediate zones. He reads coverage quite quickly, winning at the catch point over, you know, corners, like converting third downs with a lot of reliability, right? So, in my opinion, he's played alongside a lot of really great talent at Ohio State and still commanded targets while playing with probably the best wide receiver room in the country during his tenure there. So, yeah, the production could be better, but I think with that context, you at least can be like, okay, it's Ohio State. It's tough to separate there. So, you know, can he be a true number one in the NFL? I think that's the question that I would have. I'm not sure he's an alpha wide receiver, but he's the kind of guy that can show up and get it done on big third downs. He's reliable. He just seems like a locked and loaded wide receiver too, and that's the floor here. So pretty easy taking Carnell Tate.
Yeah, no, I mean, the very reason that you highlighted is the reason that I didn't take him with my last pick. That if he lands on the Cleveland Browns, that is the thing that I am just absolutely most terrified of. But if he went somewhere else, I think I would legitimately consider him at number four. He is a pretty interesting player, does have a lot going for him. But with our sixth pick here, I am going to stay with the receivers and go with the Texas A&M wideout, KC Concepcion. I really like him a lot. I think that he is somebody that brings a element of speed and the ability to gain separation no matter where he lines up on the field. And as a bonus, he's also really good in the return game. But for fantasy purposes, we're not going to get any points for that. Concepcion is somebody that I think could plug into a lot of offenses and be an impact guy on day one. But the issue really just comes down to the fact that, you know, kind of like you said, I think the NFL really values some of these guys in that sort of elite tier, as you were, you know, referring to earlier as well. And there is a bit of a drop off after that little group of Tyson, Lemon, and Tate to Concepcion. So it's going to be really interesting to see if he ends up going in the first round. I do feel pretty confident that he will. But before we get into our commercial break and into the back half of the rookie mock draft that we are doing here, what is your confidence level that we see Concepcion go in the first round?
Quite high. You know, I think the 5.5 line for wide receivers who go in the first feels right. Like, obviously, we're looking at Tyson Lemon and Tate as locks, Concepcion. And then two guys we'll get to, I think, are, you know, probably going to be in the first as well. There's a lot of, like, when I look at this wide receiver class, like, I do think, like, I do like Tyson, but I do think it kind of lacks that top end, like, elite S tier. Mm-hmm. But there is also, like, a lot of good wide receivers in this class. Like, when I was writing my article that you referenced at the top about day three picks that I was interested in, I was going through. I had to get to, like, wide receiver 14 in my ranks before I got to wide receiver who I think is not going to go in day two, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, really solid wide receivers. Like, just to let you know, like, there's a couple guys that I, you know, we're probably not going to get to here today. You know, Malachi Fields, Chris Braswell, Chris Bell, Zachariah Branch. These are all guys that I have ranked that I don't think we're going to talk about today as top 12 players. Maybe you are, Herms. I'm not going to. But, like, these are guys I think can go easily go in day two. So there's just a lot of really solid wide receivers here, man. It's a very nice wide receiver class in terms of getting some, like, role players, guys that can make a difference. Maybe not be those wide receiver ones in fantasy, but they can certainly make a difference on the field and certainly be a starter for you in fantasy
football. No, absolutely. It is a very deep class just in terms of the number of quality guys, and it'll be interesting to see if any of them are taken in the back half of this first round mock that we are doing. On the other side of our commercial break, we will hand it back over to you, Tyler, for the 107 pick. Please don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Rounds podcast. Stay tuned.
Hey everyone, CH Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right, unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market.
All right, folks, we are still doing our first round 2026 rookie mock draft here on the Crossing Routes podcast. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler Rowe. And we now get into the 107 pick, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end, premium. Tyler Rowe, who are you taking in this spot?
Because of the tight end premium, Herms, I'm going to go with Kenyon Sadiq, tight end, Oregon. He's going to go in the first round. And he's an athletic freak, right? So I'd be foolish to let him drop too much further here. I would say if it wasn't tight end premium, I probably would go a different direction because I'm very skeptical with Kenyon Sadiq. So I haven't ranked as my tight end one, but it's kind of out of cowardice, maybe, Herms, just because like I don't necessarily feel strong about anybody else and I don't love him. The comp that comes to mind is like Eric Ebron or OJ Howard here, man. I do not love the situation. The production just wasn't good enough. You know, he's a tantalizing prospect, but I'm just not sure it's going to really work out. Like I talked about the production, you know, obviously it's not an automatic death sentence for tight ends, but like the tape doesn't really bail him out either. What you're really buying into here is the athlete, right? And the athlete is real, and that's going to lead to great draft capital. And being a great athlete and having great draft capital are two very big boxes to check in fantasy. But I think as a football player, he has a little bit more to prove. His route running, I think, is an issue. It's not very crisp. Doesn't really put, you know, defenders in a bad spot with how he runs his routes. I feel like he had an issue with some drops. sometimes he like has these like circus catches, right? These impossible grabs that end up on highlight reels, but then he also will drop a very basic pass, right? So I think there's just some things here where I think there's inconsistency. I think he's a much better athlete than he is an actual football player, which is just never a good sign in my opinion. So I will say the blocking is underrated in my opinion. I think he's a better blocker than people are giving him credit for. He's not like a sixth lineman out there, but you know, I think he brings effort and better technique than he's given credit for. He keeps his base. So there is something to be said of him staying on the field, you know, outside of those passing situations. So I'll probably not end up with a lot of Kenyan Sadiq because they'll probably going to be somebody who likes him a bit more than me. I would expect him to go right around 7-6 range in tight end premium and non-tight end premium. I'd probably let him slip a couple more picks, but it's kind of where I stand there. I was between him and another player here, so I'm excited to see what you got on deck, Herms.
Well, I think I'm hoping that we are going to share one mind when it comes to this one, because with the next pick, because I have taken a quarterback and a couple receivers so far, I thought it would be nice to give myself a running back. And for that, he's not my RB2 in the class, but he is the one that I think is probably going to be picked second highest. And that would be Notre Dame running back Jadarian Price, the teammate of Jeremiah Love. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think that he is a very athletic guy who did a lot to really separate himself and sort of stand out from Love's shadow at the NFL Combine. I think whatever team ends up with him is going to be very happy with what they get out of it. Although I do enjoy Mike Washington Jr. from Arkansas. That running back is my RB2 in this class. I just am not as sure he is going to be picked as high. And especially when it comes to running backs, we really have to focus a lot on the draft capital. I ended up coming out with an article on FTNFantasy.com that dropped yesterday. If you want to go check it out, I went through and did a whole bunch of research into every running back, drafted or otherwise, since 2010 and kind of figured out where the best range in the draft for certain players are. You're going to have to click and find out my findings, but ultimately one of the things I came away with was the draft capital is obviously a very big deal and the numbers kind of bear it out. So by that logic, why not take a bet on the guy who I think is going to be the second running back off the board, and that would be Jadarian Price. Is that the player you had in mind, or were you thinking of somebody else that you might be able to take here at 109?
I had a different player in mind, but like he certainly crossed my mind. I think like after this pick, I would have taken him following that. Jadarian Price is my running back too in this class, and I'm agreeing with you where he's probably going to be a top 50 pick at this point in time. I know people didn't catch a lot of balls. Maybe the production wasn't great, but what really sticks out to me besides just the general great tape from Jadarian Price is going to be the fact that he actually carved out a role behind Love. Like Love didn't play a full-time role in college because Jadarian Price was good enough. So I don't think that happens by accident. So it was an excellent pick here, but I'm shifting over. This one might be a little bit hotter of a take, but I think this is the range when you start to plant some flags, if I'm being completely honest. And this is a guy who I'm pretty sure will go in the first, and that's Omar Cooper Jr., wide receiver, Indiana. I definitely know there's some people that got a couple wide receivers ahead of him. That's fine. I think this is where things get a little bit more interesting, and you got to make some calls. The Combine answered some big questions for Cooper's game. The speed is absolutely verified now. You stack that on top of his toughness, contact balance. I mean, 20 touchdown catches since 2024. You have a receiver profile is considerably more interesting than any kind of like recruiting ranking ever led on. Thrives in up-tempo concepts, you know, welcomes contact, breaks tackles. I think slot is the natural home here for Omar Cooper Jr. He best fits next to like a boundary wide receiver who pulls like top, you know, top coverage away and leaves him working against what, like nickel corners or linebackers, what have you, in the right system with the right quarterback. I think he's an elite chain mover, creates chunk plays. So in PPR especially, I think he's a guy that can command a large target share. I think he goes in the first round as well, in the back half of the first, but like there's a lot of teams that have some, let's say, vacated targets. I know targets are definitely earned, not given, but there'll be opportunity here, not just opportunity because he's a first round pick, opportunity because there's some teams here that really need some help at wide receiver. So I'm going to go Omar Cooper Jr., wide receiver, Indiana. Herms, did I steal your guy?
I was really thinking about it. I mean, honestly, the more I've sat with Omar Cooper, the more I've become excited about him. Now, mind you, this is not a player comp that I have had come into my mind. This is just something that I've read a lot of different places, but it resonates and it makes a lot of sense to me when I go through and watch him. I've seen some people compare him kind of like to a Deebo Samuel. And like you were saying, attacking out of the slot, really being a good chain mover. Those are the types of guys that we really like in the scoring formats that reward point values for every time you catch the ball. I think that he could be somebody very valuable in that. And to your point, I also think he goes in the first round, but if he doesn't, there are a lot of teams picking early in the second round. I know the New York Jets and their plethora of picks that they've accumulated. If they don't end up going with him in the first, I could easily see them taking him very early on day two. Point being, Cooper is probably not going to fall very far, even if he does slightly outside of the first round. I think we can feel comfortable with whatever capital is going to be invested in him. I think it makes a lot of sense. But for this one, I am going to go over and take the running back that I had sort of talked about a little bit, the guy that I think is my running back two in this class, and that is Mike Washington Jr. from Arkansas. I'm not going to go on a long explanation with this one because it's really simple. He's huge. He ran obscenely fast. And when you have an athlete of that size at that speed, who is also a pretty adept pass catcher, his arms are incredibly long and are very good tools for him to gain leverage in blocking situations. I think he can be somebody that could be out on the field a lot. Projecting running backs to be three down backs is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I always like to, you know, sort of have my short list of guys who I think could do it. And Washington is definitely one of those players. I would love to see him be picked high in day two. Hopefully somewhere in the second round, at least the third, something like that would be kind of cool. But the range of outcomes with that does make it a little risky here at the 110, which is why I do, before we get into your pick, kind of want to ask, is this a little bit too early for him? Do you think that Mike Washington deserves to be a first round rookie pick in this format, or would you have gone a different way?
I think the pick is fine. We're in a point where there's a couple players here. I don't think I'm excited to draft any of these guys without knowing their landing spot and draft capital right now. So there's no way a team doesn't see that size and speed and take him in day two. So I think I'm good with it. It'll be landing spot dependent, but I certainly don't think it's a bad pick, Arms.
Hell yeah. Really glad that you enjoy that one. I have a feeling that I am going to like the name that you choose here at the 111.
Gosh, man, I think I might, you know, what do I have ranked here? And it's funny because I have my ranks, but like I haven't done a lot of mocks. I'm going to go Denzel Boston, man. Going Denzel Boston. I don't love him as a wide receiver, but I also think he's got a real shot at going in the first round. Man, I don't like Sadiq and I don't like Denzel Boston, but I draft him anyways. But you know what? That's just the way things go. I think his calling card here is the ball skills, competitive toughness, you know, wins when the ball's in the air, tracks the ball naturally. I think he's a legitimate red zone from day one, moves well for being big. I think speed obviously is a limitation here, but he's a good blocker. I just don't see enough elite stuff to where I'm like really excited about it. But again, like I've been wrong before. And if he goes in the first round, he could go in the late first, which means he could go to like a pretty good team where there's already a, you know, legit wide receiver one in place. I think he's a reliable possession wide receiver. I don't necessarily think the upside is there like it is with these other wide receivers we've talked about, but I do have to recognize there are some positives to his game, and there seems to be a lot of gas with him going in the first round. And with that said, you know, if him being a first round in the NFL draft wide receiver is a thing, he's going to easily be a pretty safe and good pick in the back of the first round of our rookie draft.
No, and, you know, I think it really just is that simple. You know, if he's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft, then he should go in the first round of these rookie drafts and stuff. I was kind of worried that the fact that we didn't see him do anything at the combine was going to hurt him. There were a lot of questions about certain athleticism things, certain traits that I really wanted to see, and I'm sure a lot of teams wanted to see as well. But if he's still getting that buzz now, even after all of that happened, then I guess he's probably in pretty good shape. I think my only fear, though, is that among the players that the Pittsburgh Steelers have brought in for official draft visits, Denzel Boston is one of them, and evidently they seem pretty excited about him. And I swear, if the wide receiver core ends up being him and DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman Jr., it's just going to be the Spider-Man meme of everybody pointing at each other, and that's not going to be very fun.
Truly, but, man. Oh, man.
But other than that, I don't know. I think it could be kind of fun. I do, you know, hope that he ends up going to a good place. I hope things work out for him, regardless of the question marks that he has. He's pretty talented. He's a big guy. He's a very good athlete. Things will probably work out in his favor. And with the last pick, we have, this is a really tough choice here at the 112, because I don't know that there's anything that is like abundantly obvious to do necessarily. There are a lot of players that I would consider here. I think that honestly, Eli Stowers, the tight end out of Vanderbilt, is somebody that would be kind of tempting because we're doing a tight end premium draft. I think he'll probably get pretty good draft capital to the point that he might be worth that kind of a pick, but it's a little bit risky to do here. There are a couple of receivers I like as well, but the one thing that makes a lot of sense to me, and this is doing a lot of assuming, but assuming that Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson gets picked in the first round of the NFL draft, he is going to be worth taking in the first round of Superflex rookie drafts. We have seen this time and time again. This is something I brought up on the podcast before, but it bears repeating. We look at players from, you know, past drafts that, you know, maybe we're not excited about the prospect, but they're picked in the first round. It really shouldn't matter what you feel about them, but they slide anyway. I remember Denver Broncos quarterback Bo Nix was definitely in that camp. Jackson Dart, same thing. But like, they're first round quarterbacks. It means something. You are going to get an opportunity at some point. And if that happens for Simpson, I think it just makes all the sense in the world. You have to take that chance. This is true of every position, obviously, but especially at quarterback. Opportunity is the number one thing that you have to look for, and a first round pick quarterback is usually going to get that. So that kind of rounds us out here for this draft. But before we get out of here, it would be good to recap, because I forgot to do that at any point throughout this. So would you rather just have us each, you know, kind of break down our teams, or do you want me to just read through the list?
Just read through the list, Herms. You got this, my man.
All right, sounds good. So, with the first overall pick in this mock, you, Tyler O, went with Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love. With the second pick, I went ahead and took Fernando Mendoza, quarterback out of Indiana. After that, at number three, Tyler O takes Jordan Tyson, receiver, Arizona State. Then, at number four, I go with Mekhi Lemon, the slot guy out of USC. And then, for our third receiver in a row, at the fifth pick, Carnell Tate, Ohio State. Sixth pick, Casey Concepcion. Number seven, Kenyon Sadiq goes to Tyler O. Number eight, I took Jadarian Price, the other running back from Notre Dame. Number nine, Omar Cooper Jr. goes to Tyler O. Then we get Arkansas running back Mike Washington to me at number 10. Washington wide receiver Denzel Boston to you at number 11. And then with the last pick of this mock, I took a swing on Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson. If you have any final thoughts on some of these picks or anything you want to pass along, now is the time. And then I guess we'll get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton to offer here in terms of like where players went. I think there's a couple running. I think Jonah Coleman's interesting. I want to see where he goes. Does he go day two in the draft? Emma Johnson is another guy I'm really interested to see if he goes day two in the draft. Eli Stowers, I think, is a guy where I'm like, I think the gap between him and Sadiq is a lot narrower than people are giving it credit for. I do think these are the wide receivers that belong here. I don't think there's going to be any other wide receivers that find their way into the first. But I think, you know, getting Ty Simpson in there, we have a couple wild cards at running back to see where they land. A la RJ Harvey, remember that last year? I mean, he was outside of pretty much everyone's top eight. And the Broncos, who had a hole at the running back position, took him in at day two. We could always see something crazy like that, and they could bump one of the running backs into the back half of the first year. So a couple things I noticed there. This looks like, I, you know, these players, the names you expect to see, particularly in Superflex. I don't think there's any any big surprises here, but this is the class. Love the top five.
Yeah, it's a good group, and I would expect that, you know, there are going to be a lot of rookie drafts that go similar to this. But, you know, if there are any listeners out there that disagree with any of our picks, you could always hit us up on social media. We're always available to, you know, chat, do whatever. Anything like that would be super fun. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks, everybody, for joining along with this mock draft exercise. The NFL draft is going to be here before you know it, and we should be able to squeeze in one more podcast before all of the action goes down. But until next time, you can check out all of our great content at ftnfantasy.com. We have tons of articles coming out every single day, whether you're talking about fantasy football, fantasy baseball, everything across the board, you name it, it's there. This has been the Crossing Routes Podcast. Thank you so much, and we will see you all next time. Adios. Think about it. Staying up and sleeping late.